good news on the job front.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll get some reaction to this morning's unemployment update from the Labor Department, the best numbers in months. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is up 23 points right now at 11,149. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both up about 2 to 3 tenths of a percent. Lots of corporate earnings today. 3M says strong sales of consumer electronics boosted profits. Dow Chemical and ExxonMobil also beat Wall Street forecasts. Nissan shares dipped in overseas trading after the carmaker said it will recall more than 2 million vehicles because of a problem with the ignition systems. And now for more on our top story, we turn to Diane Swonk. She's chief economist at Mesro Financial in Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, Diane, this figure from the Labor Department, the number of new people filing for unemployment benefits dropped by 21,000 last week to 434,000. That's the lowest level since July. It sounds like pretty good news, is it?
Well, certainly when you lower the bar, it's easy to exceed it, and the bar has been lowered quite a bit. It is good news and welcome news that we're seeing a downward trend in unemployment claims. This is a highly volatile statistic, though, and in fact, last week's claims were revised up. Our moving average on claims is still over 450,000, which is still more consistent with an economy with the unemployment rate rising rather than falling.
And Diane, obviously the Fed is keeping a close eye on this number and the labor market in general. We heard yesterday about how much new money they might pump into the economy after their meeting next week. Do items like today's jobless claims number change the Fed's plans?
Well, they certainly don't change the commitment of Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke to try to do more for an economy that's still very fragile in its recovery. It's almost 16 months into a recovery now, so it doesn't change his commitment, but it is one of the factors, along with the naysayers within the Fed, that are actually trying to stop the Fed from moving further, and so it will mitigate the size of anything they do initially. They've already said it looks like it will be incremental change in their balance sheet, and they may do it for a long time, which could, you know, add up to be a lot, but initially, it's not this number, but in general, the backlash to the Fed's moving more within the Fed will keep them from going very aggressively at their start next week.
Okay, Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesro Financial, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now to the ongoing mortgage documentation mess we call foreclosure gate. Wells Fargo has insisted for weeks that there were no problems with its foreclosure paperwork, but now the bank, which is the nation's fourth largest, says it's going to refile documents for 55,000 homes. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports on how this latest news affects the housing market.
Wells Fargo says the mistakes in its foreclosure documents are technical. The bank says none of its foreclosures were in error. It doesn't plan to freeze foreclosures, as some other banks have. Still, this is more bad news for the housing market and sales of distressed and foreclosed homes. Greg McBride is senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
Nationally, it's about a third of all sales are distressed properties. You take those out of the equation, you can see it takes what's already an anemically low level of home sales even lower.
McBride says that has broader implications for the economy and jobs.
Painters, carpet installers, movers, real estate agents, you name it. There's a lot of economic activity that doesn't happen if homes don't change hands.
Attorneys general from all 50 states are launching an investigation of robo-signing and other foreclosure paperwork problems. There are reports that the attorneys general could start meeting with lenders as early as today. As all of this shakes out, a report today says foreclosures are rising in some unexpected places. There could be a dip in foreclosures at the end of this year, according to the report from foreclosure listing firm RealtyTrack. But RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says foreclosures will pick up again next year.
Probably by the second quarter of next year, the robo-signing issue, at least in terms of foreclosure activity, will be sort of a blip in the rearview mirror.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. By the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
From the Why Can't We Beat China file, today China is announcing a new supercomputer that is 40% faster than the one at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. The Chinese computer is the latest effort in a national strategy to boost military and commercial competitiveness. Well, officials here in the U.S. are expected to announce $2.5 billion in high-speed rail grants today. California is set to get the most money, with Florida close behind. But as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, not everyone in the railway biz is celebrating.
President Obama has touted high-speed rail as a greener, faster alternative to cars. California's got the most ambitious plan, an 800-mile rail network running from San Diego to Sacramento, with trains traveling 220 miles per hour. John Robert Smith co-chairs the advocacy group Transportation for America.
We believe for the future, the people of the United States need choices for transportation, and high-speed rail is certainly one of those choices and an important choice for the future.
But many of these new trains will run at only 110 miles per hour and on the same tracks as freight rail. And freight rail companies aren't thrilled about sharing. Mark Reuter at the Progressive Policy Institute says they have a legitimate gripe.
There's a congestion problem. There's huge liability problems. Essentially, staying on existing freight lines is what the current system is today, which is Amtrak.
But building new designated tracks for all high-speed rail would cost billions more in public funding. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, U.S. News and World Report has released a list of the meanest airlines in America. Think long lines, annoying fees, and general rudeness. Delta ranks number one, thanks to its number one status in delays and consumer complaints. United is a close second, and you won't be surprised to hear the rest of the pack is not too far behind. To see the rest of the list, you can go to marketplace.org. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Jeremy Hobson. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
For most of us, it's like a bad dream from 1994, but slow internet is still reality in some parts.
It's chugging along.
I don't know, we can call that chugging, Kathy. It's kind of creeping.
I'm Kai Ruzdahl. As banks drive accounts online, what does that mean for the internet have-nots? The story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.